So if you'd like to turn there, we'll spend a little time in the second half of that chapter this morning. And as I mentioned, and you probably know, Shelley and I were just returned last Tuesday night from visiting several destinations in the Mediterranean as we celebrated our 40th wedding anniversary. So thank you for your prayers for us while we were gone. And it was a wonderful time. And there were so many scriptural things that the Lord revealed to us during this trip. And we knew he would, because we went to places where the Apostle Paul had visited about 2,000 years ago. So we always kept that in the back of our minds as we went to these places. And we started our journey in Athens, Greece. And the first day, full day we were there, we took a tour of the Parthenon. And we've all seen pictures of the Parthenon. And we had a wonderful tour guide. His name was John. He's from Greece. He's a Greek native and an archaeologist. And he told us many things about the history of the Parthenon. And as I was hearing these things from him, I was relating to the 17th chapter of the book of Acts. And a little bit of background, the Parthenon was actually erected in the 5th century B.C., and was created as a temple to the Greek goddess Athena for leading the Greek victory over the Persian invaders. And construction started in 447 BC. And it was finished just 9 years later, which to me was amazing because in addition to the stones and things that you see, the photographs you see, the whole building, and not just that, but other temples at the top of the Acropolis were decorated with beautiful murals and paintings and mosaics, and it was colorful, and artwork and all these things. And the original word Parthenon comes from the Greek word parthenos, meaning maiden girl, as well as virgin, unmarried woman. And the marble stone, the entire structure, was hewn out of marble. Well, the marble quarries are about 20 miles away. And the Parthenon sits on a precipice about 200 feet tall. And there's no easy way to get there. It's very steep. And I marveled, how in the world, in 9 years, were all these stones, most of which weighed 20 tons, were quarried, transported, and then elevated to this hill and fit together perfectly in just 9 years without any machinery or transportation of any kind. But it was all done to worship pagan gods. An image of Athena, the goddess of war, was crafted out of gold and placed in the center of the Parthenon. And she stood 36 feet tall. Amazing. And there were many other images and temples and altars and monuments all about the city where people worshiped many gods. And our tour guide, John, took us over the course of 2.5 hours, took us through 2,500 years of Greek history. But again, all the while, all I could think of was our brother Paul. And when he arrived in Athens, at the base of the Parthenon, about a quarter of a mile away, there's a rock outcropping known still today as Mars Hill. And as we stood at the base of Mars Hill, we stood in exactly the same spot where the Apostle Paul introduced the one, the only, the true God of the universe to the various philosophers and people that would assemble there to hear people speak. I imagined how Paul must have looked back over his shoulder at such a magnificent temple built by hands and dedicated to worshiping a pagan god. Then with conviction and boldness, Paul introduced them to the one true God of all creation. So if you're in Acts 17, let's read together starting in the 16th verse. And this is I couldn't keep this out of my mind while we were there. Now, while Paul waited for them, speaking of Silas and Timotheus, at Athens, his spirit was stirred within him when he saw this city wholly given unto idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, "What will this babbler say?" And others, "He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him to Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, that what these things mean." For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but to either tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him I declare unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needeth anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, and certain also of your own poets have said, 'For we are all his offspring.' For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone or graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man, Jesus, whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. And others said, 'We will hear thee again of this matter.' So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysus, the Areopagite, and a woman named Demarius, and others with them." Precious hearts, to stand there, where Paul gave this message, to imagine what it was like for Paul to preach the word, to preach Jesus, the unknown God. The foundations, the seeds of Christianity were being laid at that very spot. And all along the coast, up into Philippi and over into Corinth, into Ephesus, all in that region, Troas, to be there, it wasn't just a vacation. It was an experience. It was so moving to think that Paul and everything that he went through, all the missionary journeys, the thousands of miles that he traveled on land, by foot, in small ships over tempestuous seas, to be shipwrecked, and all the perils that we read about in Scripture that he endured. For one thing, for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I was just so thankful. Here we are, almost 2,000 years later, and we still have it. I don't know if Paul ever dreamed that his writings would ever last this long. But all he did was do what God asked him to do, that which God commissioned him to do. That's what God commanded him to do. And the only reason he did it was of love. As we sat here yesterday and spoke about our dear brother Derek, love. Pure love. He wasn't judging these people in Athens. He loved them so much, they were just ignorant. They just didn't know. But by God's grace, look at the fruit. 2,000 years of fruit globally. It was just an amazing experience. And that day at the Parthenon was our first day. We were gone for 2 weeks. I've got many more stories to share with you, perhaps someday. And I'd love to, because it was quite a remarkable time away. But we're very glad to be back. And thank you for your prayers for our safety, and thank you for your prayers for Lauren. And I hope this has been a blessing to you this morning. God bless you, and I pray that he come today.